Tomorrow, Kathleen Madigan is coming back to town. She's going to be playing the Bottleneck Blues Bar at Ameristar over in St. Charles on Thursday night. And with that auspicious occasion just a couple of days away, I thought we'd get her on the phone here this afternoon for a little visit here on the Paul Harris Show. Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
Hi, Paul. I'm good. How are you?
You're laughing because I said auspicious occasion, aren't you?
I know. That was very fancy. I almost hung up because I wasn't sure it was you.
I apologize. Hey, before we talk about anything else, earlier in the show, because it's Election Day, I did my annual balloting where my listeners got to vote on the worst song ever. Before I tell you what won, what would you say is the worst song ever?
I think mine probably won't get a lot of votes. It's just personal, but I literally can't stand it. Remember that song, Up, Up and Away in My Beautiful Balloon?
By the Fifth Dimension.
Oh, I don't know why that song. It was the way they would say balloon. I just found it extremely irritating.
Yeah.
What won?
Richard Harris, MacArthur Park.
What?
Someone Left a Cake Out in the Rain, you know, the whole thing.
I love that song. And my sister didn't believe those were the words either. And she was like, nobody would write that, Kathleen. I go get the album, Kate. It's Someone Left the Cake Out. Why would anyone put a cake in a park?
Yeah.
Was that a huge fight about it? Yeah.
And then because he's English, he rhymes rain with a gain.
Yeah, that's bad. Well, Billy Joel changed gin and tonic to tonic and gin for that one song, and I don't know that you can do that.
That's creative license, isn't it? By the way, the
yeah.
others in the top three were Minnie Riperton's song Lovin' You and Michael Jackson's song Ben.
Yeah, I'll go with Ben. That was creepy.
Yeah.
Who likes a rat that much? That's weird. We should have known there was something wrong with him then.
Yes, we should.
That's our first clue.
Yeah. Hey, I know you live out in Los Angeles, a town that has been racked by the writer's strike the last couple of days. Are you in the midst of this at all?
Well, the comedians, we don't really have anything to do with it, but I do have a lot of friends that are writers on shows that like used to be comedians, and then they go write for like, you know, Bill Maher or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But my friends are so lazy. Like, you could pick the morning or the afternoon picket thing, so they all picked the afternoon one because they thought maybe, hopefully, it would get resolved by 12 o'clock. And then they got there late on purpose because they didn't want to carry signs because they were too heavy. And then they're all complaining, it's really cold. I'm like, what would you guys do if you were Teamsters in Detroit in February?
Yeah.
You would never get anything done.
Right.
You gotta buckle up, soldiers.
Yeah. It's like here in town, the guys from the UAW, you know, okay, we may have to go on strike. We don't know about our deal. We're not sure what we're going to do. And the writers don't want to come because the sign is too heavy.
And I said, well, they do kind of look like you might get splinters, but maybe you should wear gloves, and then you won't have to worry about it.
That would be the wussiest strike ever. It's California, it's 75 degrees, and they're wearing gloves so they don't get splinters.
You know, I will give them credit, though. They're all showing up, even the famous people. I mean, Leno came down and brought everybody donuts, which was nice. And if he wanted to, he could just do his show. He doesn't have to not do it. I believe Ellen's still going to do hers.
Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, he's not a writer, so he's not held to, you know, technically he's a talk show
mm-hmm.
that has writers on it.
Mm-hmm.
He could hire scab writers, or he could just go without writers.
Yeah.
You know, skip the monologue and just have people come out. But, I mean, he went down there and he said, you know, look, I'm not funny unless I have funny writers, and they don't make a lot of money. He actually said on TV, they don't make a lot of money because I don't pay them a lot. So I thought I'd come down here and give them some dough. But, I mean, good for him, you know?
Yeah, my friend John, who's one of the writers for Jay and has been with him for a long time, says that that's the kind of guy that Leno is. But he also had to remind his fellow writers, let's not all show up in our brand new 2008 BMW convertibles while we're trying to convince the Teamsters not to cross our picket line.
You know what? The Teamsters, though, are actually going to participate, I think. And there's a ton of writers. What people don't know is people think everybody in Los Angeles is rich and famous and all that crap. And they're not. I mean, I have writers that write on shows where they're making, you know, I don't know, $1,200 a week before taxes.
Yeah.
So that's not even $50,000 a year. I mean, they're not all The writers you know about are the ones that are making tons of money, but there's thousands and thousands that you don't know.
Talking with Kathleen Madigan, who's going to be performing at the Bottleneck Blues Bar at Ameristar on Thursday night here in St. Louis on News Talk 1120 KMOX. Now, speaking of the strike, that means there's probably going to be a lot of reality shows the networks are going to have to pump in there. Is there a chance that you'll be involved in another season of Last Comic Standing this winter?
Well, they're definitely bringing the show back, but we haven't heard anything because I think they were waiting to see if the strike happens. Because if the strike lasts for a reasonably long amount of time, they will hurry up with all of the reality TV, and then they'll try to make even more stuff. But I think they were waiting to see how serious this is.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Would you want to be on another season?
I would, yeah. I mean, I would like to do it. I would like to do it preferably if there's no strike going on. I mean, even though reality doesn't count, you would still kind of feel bad. Like, you know, I would feel like, well, is this cool? I mean, you know, my friends are all sitting at home not getting paid.
Yeah.
But it isn't. I mean, reality really, there is riding on reality, though, but that's a whole other issue the union tried to fight for and they didn't get.
Right.
But Last Comic Standing, believe it or not, was a union show because the guy who owns it made it so.
Oh.
So that was kind of cool.
Is that a recognition of the fact that stand-up comedians actually are writers, even if they're not in the guild?
No, they didn't get paid like union, but the people that wrote on Last Comic Standing, they got paid.
Gotcha.
They were a member of the guild.
Yeah.
You know, so you get your health insurance and all that stuff. Yeah.
And last time I talked to you was right before the finale, and then your buddy Lavelle, who's also from St. Louis, he ended up being the runner-up on that show. But he'll be fine, won't he?
He'll be totally fine. It's like all about exposure. I just think he wanted that big chunk of change at one time. You know, I mean, he'll still make tons of money his whole life. He'll be fine. But I think he was pretty, and his parents, his family came out from St. Louis. So afterwards I went over and talked to him and I'm like, you know, nobody's going to forget him. He weighs 400 pounds and is hilarious. He's unforgettable.
Right.
I mean, seriously, like people will know who he is. And I mean, I've been out on the road a lot since, and so a lot of people like Lavelle, but, you know, a lot of people like John, too. So I said, you know, it's just who picks up the phone and votes on these things, that's all.
Now, you actually were a contestant on, was it the first season of the show you were on or the second?
The second one.
Yeah. Have you ever won an award like that? I mean, a competition, a comedy competition?
No, I always come in second, but I also don't put any effort into it. Like when
you're like, you know, your lazy striking friends.
I am. Like, well, when they say, you know, you can go vote online, like I'll, or call in to vote, I'll tell my mom, if you're sitting there, vote for me. That's not enough. You know, you got to really, people who win these things really make a concerted effort and they get a game plan and they go to MySpace and Facebook and I just don't care enough. I mean, to me, it's like, look, I just want to get on TV and do my jokes. I don't really care if you get the prize.
Yeah.
And our prize, I think, I don't even remember what it was. This year it was a lot of money. Ours wasn't. So it was kind of like, well, if people vote for me, that's great, but I'm not going to get a campaign going.
Well,
it's too much effort.
You're living proof that you can have a pretty darn good career without ever winning a comedy competition of any kind. So congratulations on that.
Exactly. I've always come in second, seems to be a great spot.
Yeah. Now, when you're at Ameristar, will you be hitting the slots?
Oh, my God. That's, you know, I've done like 10 casinos this year, and I've been doing a lot of them with John Panetta, the other comedian. He likes to gamble, too, and if those video poker machines, if the chairs were toilets, I wouldn't even be talking to you right now. I cannot get up from those. And the slot machines, all of it. I don't play blackjack because I can't add. Like, I don't know how people find fun in that. Like, I just look at it's like an SAT test. I'm like, an 8 and a 5. I've never seen those numbers together ever in my entire life. I'm counting under the table. And then somebody gives you a dirty look because you're taking too long. And you're like, well, now I got to start over. As I saw you give me a dirty look, and it distracted me, and now I forgot where I am.
So you're not getting thrown out for counting the cards. You can't even count the cards you have.
In a million years, I'll never be that lady. No. I might get thrown out for falling asleep at a video poker machine. I don't know. I think they can probably throw you out for being too tired, maybe.
Yeah.
I actually did see a woman in Las Vegas. You know, some of those old ladies have the bungee cords with the card on it that's attached to the machine. This woman was in a chair, and I was with Caroline Ray, this other comedian, and I said, I think that lady may have died, because she was really old, and because she was just passed out in the chair, And Caroline goes, no, look, her card and her bungee cord are still moving when she breathes. And I'm like, okay, this lady needs to go home now.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is so going to be me when I'm 80, though. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to get in whatever little bus will come and pick me up with a bucket of nickels, and that'll be my entire day.
And then somebody from the casino will come over and say, Ms. Madigan, you're supposed to be on stage now.
And I'm like, I quit comedy 30 years ago. Leave me alone.
All right, so before or after the show Thursday night, you can look for Kathleen hitting the video poker in the slots. It's at Ameristar, and then she'll be on stage. Is it one show or two?
Two shows. I think it's 7 and 9. I have to recheck, but I think 7 and 9, which means I'll be done by 11. So then I will be somewhere gambling by 11:02.
Well, it's always great to have you on, and you'll pack the place, I'm sure. Thursday night, Bottleneck Blues Bar out at Ameristar in St. Charles. Thanks, Kathleen. Have a good time.
Great talking to you. Okay.
Great having you back on the show. Kathleen Madigan here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.